Hey everybody, we got a special episode for you today. We have our countdown to Attila show. We're 4 months out from the Swim Run World Championship in September.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
It's coming up. We're getting ready. Hear how we're feeling and all that good stuff. Plus a new theme song. Welcome to the Low Tide Boys Swim Run Podcast. I'm Chip.
And I'm Chris, and this is episode 122 of the show. Welcome, everyone, to the second edition of our Countdown to Attila show, where we will be discussing our journey to the start line of the Attila, the Swim Run World Championship, in early September. Joining us on this episode are the Swimmer Monks to catch up and talk about Attila preparations, and we have a super special guest. We have Susie Moonen back on the show after a year and a half from Push On Coaching to talk about sort of the mental side of preparing for an event of this magnitude. So two awesome conversations. It was great to catch up with the monks.
Yes. It's been a while. We haven't heard from the monks. We know they finished their second Attila last September. Mm-hmm. So we were eager, and we hit them up to see what they were doing. We got to talk to you. We have some knowledge to drop on you all.
And they reached out to us as well. Yeah. Like, I think right after Philip was like, hey, we got to chat. There's things you need to know. And I was like, I'm here for it.
We're here. We want to hear it. Yeah, really, really great to hear what they're up to and to hear their experiences and how things went for them. And, you know, I appreciated how sort of transparent they were with things that they wish they could have gone better and stuff like that. I mean, I think you and I are really trying to be on top of everything and making sure we have all of our bases covered. I guess that's just how we are. So it's good to try to learn from other folks.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And then Susie Moonen, I mean, I literally was getting my mind blown like during the interview. It was great. Like already implementing a lot of the stuff she's talking about. Before we get to all that, Chipper, how's the body? How's the mind?
Yes. So the body's feeling pretty good after our race that we had, Swim Run Lake James. Very happy with how our sort of first display of fitness went.
Yeah, felt like, and you know, we have basically two races leading up for stage one being complete, being sort of doing that race.
Check.
Felt really good about it.
Yeah, totally. We had some things that we were both working on, that kind of things that we've been talking with our guests about, particularly our friends over at Precision Hydration and Fuel, Abby Coleman and then Andy Blow. And that race was something that I was really focused on, making sure my fueling was much better and my nutrition, because those two are different. My nutrition the days before and the weeks leading up to the race, the morning of and everything, and then fueling on that day. And I think we both agree we don't get perfect. We don't get 10 out of 10 score on that. But in terms of the improvement from previous races, I think we much improved on that. I'm feeling very confident.
Just like high school, solid B. It was a good B.
It was good. And the mind is good. I know we're both very motivated right now, and we had a good chat with our coach about what's kind of coming up in training, and we'll talk about that a little bit later here. But sort of preparing my mind for the big build, if you will.
Yeah.
Which is going to build through Casco. So it's big. Mm-hmm. 12, 4 months, you know.
It's
going to go by quick.
Go by super quick.
How's the body? How's the mind with you, Chris?
Good. Yeah. I mean, I feel still super stoked on Swim Run.
Good.
Feel super motivated. Body feels good. Really pleased with our performance at Lake James. As we mentioned in sort of that race report episode, you know, when you do a lot of training, you hope that you can sort of execute and sort of have something to show for it on race day, but you never really know until race day. So, so we're doing all this work and having a good race, I think, was just like very comforting and reassuring. And I think it'll perpetuate us to keep going. And like you mentioned, we're about to put in some major work, which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
Our swims are going to get longer. Our runs are going to get longer. And we're going to be, you know, basically getting ready for a massive day in September, which is good. And I think in terms of the mind, still very, very motivated, very much looking forward to the race. I feel like I'm in a good headspace. I feel like we're in a good headspace as teammates. Mm-hmm. You know, we're always in a good headspace as friends, but you know, when you're training and doing all this stuff, I think it's, I just feel like we're really aligned and it's good. It's a good place to be for something like this. And I think the guests we have today, I don't want to say it. I think it's interesting that like a lot of the stuff that we're thinking about that we're trying to sort of be on top of is what people are telling us that they wish they would have done. So our first guest, which is the swimmer monks, they're telling us, oh, we wish we would have done this. We should have done more strength. We should have focused on this stuff. And to me, it was really validating our process because they're saying they wish they would have done that. And we're like, all right, well, we're doing it already. So that's like super, super confirming and just really helpful to hear that they thought that that's something that would have been important to them and they applied it the second year.
Or more of. And we know that they were really dialed in for going to the world champs and they were sharing with sort of the extracurriculars outside of swimming and running training, the coach and everything there. But, you know, the ice kind of cold water therapy stuff, doing lots of band work and strength in the gym. But it was like you said, really interesting. Like, okay, they did some strength. Oh, they wish they would have done more. Like, okay, that's really good for us to know sort of thing there.
But it was good. So the monks, which we'll get into that conversation now, like they are our first three-time guests. Not only are they the first guests to be on three times as like a show guest and not just making cameos, they were the first team that we DM'd that replied and were willing to be on the show when we started this crazy thing
January
way back when.
2020.
So, so really lucky to have episode 4. If anyone wants to go back and listen to that.
I don't know about going back and listen to that one.
Yeah, that's I don't think
that
I could.
That could be interesting.
But yeah, without further ado, here's Philip and Sean, Swarma Monks. Super cool dudes.
The monks.
Back on the show for the third time. This is our first three-time guest.
Three-peat.
Also, the first people ever to respond to one of our DMs when we asked them to come on the show. The first team we ever had on the show. Welcome back, the Swimrun Monks, Sean and Philip. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Good, all guys. Right. Good to be back on the
That's
show.
Well, that's it. Thanks for coming.
We love the show.
Well, it's been...
Where's Sean?
Oh, thank you. Love you guys.
Nice seeing you guys again. And as you know, we are prepping for Utila, the Swim World Championship, come here in September.
Mm-hmm.
Something you two know a bit about. You've raced it as a team 2 times. Sean, you have a third bit of experience under your belt as well. So this is our road countdown to Utila show. Where we're trying to unmask. We're trying to learn.
Yeah, we're trying to learn. And honestly, right when we qualified, I think, Phil, you sent me a DM. You sent us a DM being like, there's a lot of things I need to tell you. Like, you guys are doing this. There's a lot I need to tell you. So I was like, hey, man, let's make this happen. This is the perfect venue for it.
Yep.
Like, we'd love to hear just your thoughts on how someone for the first time should be approaching this massive, awesome day. The floor is yours.
Well, when you guys did it for the first time as a team back in 2019, Sean, you already had done one. What tips, if you can kind of remember, what things were you thinking of that you wanted to build upon after your first to your second one and your first one as the monks?
I mean, the first one I did in 2018 was like, we got called up last minute by Michael and my partner, Joe, and I mean, we were really rookies. I mean, sort of weekend trainers, you know, train once or twice a week. We got into the race and didn't know what was coming. It took us 12 hours. And then Phil and I, when we did it the first time, we'd been training quite a bit. But we definitely weren't technically training. But in terms of learning, I mean, just putting in a lot more effort, you know, putting a lot more volume, just especially on the running side. But then this third time that we did it, that's when we really got a lot more specific. You know, we hired a coach, Mike Lyle, actually put in a lot of work. So you know, I'd say the first two were more kind of fun racing. And then this last one, we took off, you know, nearly an hour and a half off our time. So
very solid effort.
Super solid.
Very solid yeah. effort from you two there.
Thank you.
So I'll throw the same question to you, Phil. So the first time you did it, you built upon, we ran into you guys in Casco Bay, literally ran into you at the one of the final aid stations there, and you guys were in the middle of some huge build, and you were building and well on your way into there. You had a lot of fitness on you. So hiring the coach, more specificity, larger run volumes, what learnings did you take from that second one that you want to pass on to the Low Tide boys to this send up to NorCal up here? What tips do you have for us?
Oh man, you know, there's definitely a lot. But I think the biggest one, you know, kind of looking back at, I'm always kind of just looking at things, you know, how can we improve, you know? And I think the biggest thing is just having, I think like this, the second time around is having more stronger legs. You know, I remember like the first year, we just weren't going as fast as we did the second time. So we were definitely more kind of enjoying it, you know, like not paying attention, but going much slower. You know, like this, the second time around, we're going faster, kind of definitely, you know, very focused on our feet because the ground is like, it's not just, you know, straight up 30 miles of running. It's almost like you're on pier rocks, you know, you got to hop, you know, like a lot of the races, you're hopping, you're dodging rocks, you're dodging, you know, slimy kind of slippery logs, you know, soft dirt that your foot kind of sticks into. So you really just want to have really strong legs. That's how I kind of got, really was like, man, we are still under, you know, trained in the legs for this race, you know? So that was the biggest one.
Yeah, I think getting your legs like bulletproof in terms of if it's plyometrics, jumping, you know, if we would have, you know, we definitely put in a lot of volume of running, but there are not that many rocks in San Diego. So, you know, for our arms, we did all this kind of, we called it bulletproof shoulder work with like bands in the gym. I think there's a lot of things you can do similar to that with legs, you know, if it's jumping on one leg, if it's using band work, just getting your knees, because to be honest, the last 2 hours of the race, we were in super good shape, but I was in insane pain the last 2 hours. My knees were just shooting pain and it was just that pounding on the rocks. You know, my joints just kind of were not happy. And if we had to go back, it would have been strength training, like sounds like you guys are doing. So
okay, so you had the miles ramped up like you would if you mm-hmm. had the run volume was ramped up like you would attack a 40-mile or an ultra marathon type distance, but you're saying a little bit more dynamic strength training for the lower body would have been really helpful for you.
Dynamic movement, like especially I would say the hips and knees. So if that's yoga, Pilates, you know, mixing in some cross training, just getting that whole low body is kind of
like how much weight have you guys dropped? You have you guys are you guys dropping more weight like as you get closer to the race, or are you guys already set in your weights and you guys feel good?
I don't know, weight wise, I think there's definitely some dad bod that can be shaved off, but it's also like I like my snacks, and when I'm working out, you know, 12 plus hours a week, like I'm just hungry all the time. So while I'm trying not to partake too much, it's hard. But yeah, I think it's probably like 5 pounds that can be gone. But for the most part, I think where we're at is it's kind of where we're going to be.
Yeah, I think we feel pretty good about that. Or speaking for myself, I feel fine where I'm out, like within range, knowing that as training volume sort of ramps throughout the summer here, and you know, we're talking to you. It's in late April, early May. So mm-hmm. volume's going to ramp throughout the summer. And with that, you know, definitely could tighten some belts on a few of the, you know, treats. Like I got a, you know, 12 pack of cupcakes in the house. I don't know.
You do?
Yeah. I'm not trying to eat them, but they're in there.
Nice.
I got you. But I mean, I definitely gained back all my stuff, you know, like because when we did the practice, you know, like me and Sean, you know, prepping, I think it was like, what, February, March we started of 2021? Yeah. Like February.
February, yeah.
And probably only maybe around April to May that we started to eat healthy and just literally stopped. Like no Cokes. I mean, no ice cream. Like it helped out. I mean, we shaved pounds.
Yeah.
Because we're like, we're good. Because me and Sean were both like, if we're going to do this, you know, because we went from very unstructured exercising to very structured, mm-hmm. right?
Where the coach yeah, we just used to do whatever we felt like, we'll rock up, meet up with each other, kind of.
Yeah, how you feeling? You want to do this? You want to do that? Yeah, you want to, yeah. But with coach, and so I really seen the benefit is when I really started eating clean and then doing all this stuff. I mean, it was just like, I mean, it was like a whole different ball game. Like I felt lighter. And so going back to the knees is you're going to be like almost jumping the whole, not jumping the whole race, but like you're just moving through a very tough terrain.
Yeah, you're hopping from rock to rock. You're scrambling.
Very dynamic situation.
You're just like bounding and stuff like that. Yeah.
The other big thing with diet is like, you know, I feel like diet was a really big learning curve for us. And we didn't really even look at our kind of training fuel for the race until like 3 or 4 weeks out, sadly.
Seriously. Mm.
So that was a huge mistake. And I think I'm talking about myself personally. Leading up to the race, I wasn't eating enough calories in terms of our training. So like, I actually was like messaging someone online about it and he looked at my diet and he was like, you're eating like 2,100 calories a day and you're training like, you know, we were training like 20, 30 hours a week. So my macros, all my, you know, I just wasn't eating enough proper food. So as soon as I started increasing protein, the right kind of carbs, it was amazing how much stronger I got physically. And then for the race, you know, having enough fuel, because you literally can't, you're burning so many calories in that race. You're burning over 5,000 calories.
Yeah.
You can't consume enough food. So working on digesting food while you're running, because your stomach can get used to that, you know, so training with food, training with your digestive system.
I think you guys are already doing that though, right?
Yeah. Because of popping the gels. We're definitely on that train already, but it's helpful to hear just the confirmation that you found that to be helpful. Now during the race, you know, we've been hearing, hey, whoever can eat the most is going to have the best day. Like, how did you guys approach actually eating during the race? Did you set a timer? Were you eating like all of the cinnamon buns or just everything throughout the course? Or what was your plan on race day?
We did. Phil had a little timer on his watch and we had electrolyte pills. We had like little packs where we would take electrolytes. Mm-hmm.
Every 30 minutes, one gel, one.
We had full water bottles where we had Perpetuum from Hammer. Mm-hmm. I think the problem is we probably overfueled because our stomachs got a little messed up.
It wasn't overfuel. Sort of, it was the night before the race eating too much at after the.
Well, I think it was those shots of tequilas you were taking at the bar.
Right before the race.
On the night before. However way you need to, huh? Okay, so you had I like that plan, and we've heard that from multiple folks as well, is with the timer situation, and even if you're not killing the whole gel down, the fact that you're getting some bit of calories on a consistent basis to sort of keep that those energy levels and your fuel up in your tank, so to speak, seems to be the way to go for sure.
Yeah, like we had like a soft flask, and so there was, I think, 3 or 4 or 6 gels in there. It's pretty much – each time you took a full gulp of a gel, that was half a gel for us. So if you do 2 gulps, that's a gel. So we had them kind of ready. I had 1 flask with caffeine, you know, which I started to use like towards the end. But the beginning was just that gel. And then we had like blister packs from, I think, what's that?
Precision Fuel and Hydration.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we had those blister packs because they're just in your thing and you can just pop them. And we had those and the gel every 30 minutes. That was the plan.
The key is you need to try as many calories as you can, but you don't want to upset stomach on the race. So you have to train with eating that, you know, because you're jumping around. So your stomach is not great. So it's like, it's a tricky balance. You know, it's sort of like the cold, you know, you want to wear a wetsuit, but you don't want to be too warm because you got to run with it. Same as eating calories. It's like such a fine dance. So it's like, I would recommend just practicing.
I think they're already doing that, though. Yeah.
I'm not saying they're not doing that, but I'm just...
No, I mean, that advice is well taken, and we, you know, we just did a race where we try to do that in race conditions, and I wouldn't say we got A-pluses on it.
No, but we got higher marks than previous races,
We probably got, like, a B-minus on our fueling.
Well, you guys don't want to eat. I know how it is in these races. You don't want to eat, but you just have to.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and it's just kind of the mentality.
Stay alive.
Like, just... you know, just got to change your mindset to be like, oh, let me just go as lean as possible on the fueling instead of just going like, just go as much as you can without like as Sean, as you're saying, like finding that, you know, riding the lightning of taking enough fuel without getting sick or overdoing it.
Also hydration, you know, it's like the electrolytes, because you're losing, so you don't realize how much you're losing fluid. You know, even then, like whenever Phil and I have done, it's always been quite chilly. So, you know, you don't feel like you're sweating, but you're losing just so many electrolytes, you know, so it's replacing the fluids.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Which is tough.
Now, in terms of race strategy.
Or pacing.
Yeah. Is there anything that you guys sort of took from your first experience and then sort of dialed it in for your second one?
So our goal is to go under 10. I can't remember the exact numbers, but I think it was if we at least run at a 10-minute pace the whole race, we'll make that. Mm. And then swimming was kind of the same. But we didn't hit our goals was because I think we overate the day before. And we actually never done this, me and Sean, in a race. But we each of us had to poop at the same time. We looked at each other and we're like,
dual pooping.
I mean, I guess that's good. Like, he's like, you're limiting the pit stop time because you're both doing double.
We have never done that in a race. And
were you guys
running.
Still tethered when you were pooping? No?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, we split up.
Just checking.
But it was on the private property.
There was a nest of ants where I chose to go. So it was
we'll avoid
an interesting situation.
But what we're getting is that 5 or 6 or 10 miles before that, I was already running with that nugget in my stomach. And I was already like, this nugget needs to come out.
Sure.
Mistakes can still happen going the second and third time. It's crazy. It's crazy.
But that's where practicing with that much fuel, we didn't practice with gel packs or like the blister packs. We didn't practice with Perpetuum. We never did all that stuff. We just practiced.
Very little, but yeah. Not like Casco Bay. We're still kind of just, I think you brought a Perpetuum soft flask just to try as a practice. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. And then we end up, you know, using it and like, oh my God, this is amazing. So yeah, it was like that late that we started, you know, figuring out, you know, our nutrition, you know,
A race that long, you need to also get protein back in, you know, amino acids. You can't just do only carbs. So you need some sort of, you know, way there because you're burning just so many calories.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where the Perpetuum helps.
You know, for the World Championship, as you guys get to each aid station, you guys should for sure either 2 waters or 1 electrolyte per station, each person, no matter what.
Okay.
I don't care if you have to
That's a good point. Phil and I had a strategy where we made each other, we watched each other, and it was like, if I didn't see him have 2 waters, I would call him out. Hey, have another one.
Or 1 electrolyte.
And he watched me too.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
We've been working on sort of that accountability aspect. Going back to our recent race in Lake James, where if Chris was having a gel or I was having a hit, I'm like, I'm taking some fuel right now, and I would shout it out to him and same to him, and it's kind of that reminder. Or he'd say, oh, my timer went off on my watch, so. You are going through this journey together, so keeping each other accountable, because you both know that, oh, if Sean's not taking on hydration, you both as one unit aren't going to have a great time. So you need to, it's part of your responsibility too, to make sure the other one is doing what they need to do to get
to the end. Yeah, and I feel like where we kind of learned that was when we did Orcas last year and Chipper had that 4-hour bonk. Like, I feel like I was taking nutrition, but I was just kind of running my own program. Like, I took a gel like 20 minutes in, and my energy levels were super high. And I was just, you know, just letting Chipper kind of do his thing. And then when it got so bad, then it was kind of, that's kind of where we were. Like, the teaching for us from that's like, hey, you know what? Like, just vocalizing it, that level of communication, what's happening on the nutrition side, what's happening on the pace side, what's happening on like the, you know, happiness side. Like those types of check-ins can be really good, because whether if you ignore it or not, that's different, but at least you're like, hey, it's been 30 minutes. It's time to take a gel. Just even vocalizing that can help, I think.
Yeah.
For us, it was literally because I keep track of kind of the time and like where we're going. And I was just like, you know, every time it hit, you know, 30, you know, 30 or 0-0, we were snacking, you know, it was Perpetuum. It was, So, And I think,
yeah, it's a good point. Keep each other accountable. It's just that, yeah, have some sort of a system.
Yeah, for sure.
The on course,
it's very important. Exactly.
The on course options in terms of the quote unquote real food. How are you both working that into your fueling sort of plan?
I would not recommend eating. There's one, what was that one aid station? They had sausages. I actually think that's why I had
to take
a toilet break. There was a place that had sausages, and I smashed a sausage because I was like, man, those things look incredible. And I ate it, and as soon as I swallowed it, I was like,
it's at the turnaround.
Okay, so skip the sausage.
Do not eat the sausage.
Okay, noted.
So this was
suck the juices out and then spit out the sausage.
There you go. Just get like the liquid.
The food's great.
Get
the essence of it. You can see a lot of older people, and the food's kind of all some like homemade and stuff. So yeah, I say eat it. You know, just try to put it down like on top of everything, because it's long and it's cold out there.
Okay,
but simple stuff. I would stay away from stuff.
They got bananas and fruit and
not like
normal
a frankfurter
kind of
with sauerkraut.
Yeah, they've got gummies.
Yeah, Swedish stuff. Yeah. Just try it. I think the body needs everything at that point. I mean, you're just like, dude, if I can think I can eat it, just eat it.
What was that? What was your favorite thing on this culinary experience? As a previous guest called the World Championship. Was it like cinnamon buns or something?
There was like chicken broth, I think, near the end where it was freezing cold.
There's and a few of them, yes. I remember
that
always
tastes super
it
good
beautiful.
On the system. It sort of like revitalizes you.
It does.
Another thing I would recommend is when you do the caffeine. So we had a strategy where we didn't have caffeine the whole day, and then like an hour before the end, we hit the caffeine. Mm. And I was having a bit of a headache, so I didn't hit the caffeine. Phil hit it, and he was like a go bunny after that. I mean, the guy was chatting a million miles. You know, I was like, it's a bit late,
we're
brother.
We're passing people.
We're racing this hard now. He was literally flying between rocks. I mean, the guy was out of control.
It was beautiful.
So, like, I think caffeine can help you, but just, yeah, we probably should have had it a bit earlier, though.
Yeah, so the caffeine, it seems like a very powerful tool, especially
performance
enhancer. So, I guess we'll start working that into our practices, and then at Casco Bay when we're racing there, I think will be a good opportunity to kind of try to see what happens when we drop some caffeine.
Yeah,
down
maybe.
The hatch.
But I'm sure you guys chat to enough people, but from what we kind of were told with caffeine, I think from Mike and some other people, which we I think they definitely know what they're talking about, but it's like, once you start the caffeine, supposedly, it was Brian. Once you start it, you really got to keep going on it. And it's just like, it's just kind of a wick that you burn. So that's why we were told to kind of do it towards the end. Because if you kind of start it, I guess, early, it's kind of hard to kind of, I guess, keep it, fresh, I guess, longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If that like makes sense.
Yeah.
If you want to be redlining, to a certain point. So, yeah.
For sure.
You can't be redlining too early.
Yeah.
Another thing that just came up that I just thought of is, don't try to race teams within the race, right? So like, it's such a long day. Stick to your plan in terms of like your mileage pace. We were looking at doing like on the flats, kind of 8 minutes a mile kind of thing. It's obviously tough on rocks and when you're swimming. But sometimes you can get competitive, and I think Phil and I, we're pretty competitive with certain people, and you see them and you race up to them or race past them. When you're doing like a 10, 11-hour race, it's not necessarily probably the smartest thing to do. Those little spurts of racing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So I'd really recommend just running your own race. Don't try, because it's too long to try and compete with a team the whole race.
Have a schedule,
Yeah, that's good advice. I mean, it's definitely too long an event. I mean, it's an ultra, right? Like, you can't be racing for 10 hours.
Yeah, we don't have the engines capable of racing for that. No. Racing
and then
somebody.
Don't forget, it was the guy that won Catalina, Ramirez, I believe.
Nico, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he fell and cut his hand or broke his hand on the jagged rocks the first section.
Oh, his partner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was his partner.
Was it his partner?
Francesca or something like that.
I thought I saw him at the first aid station. I was like, I thought you're in the race. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
So it's a long day. Like, your goal is to finish. And it's a long day, and going back to maybe, let's chat about shoes. Is I think I made a big, you know, stripper that showed me those Hokas.
Are you blaming me for something?
No. I'm telling you that I've been looking for shoes for that race. You know, that race doesn't need huge lugs. It needs very small and a lot of like little lugs because the rocks are slippery and you're kind of crawling out of these big rocks out of the water. So you need surface, you know, like
you need some cushion too.
You what?
You need some cushion because you're pounding those knees.
Well, the cushion, yeah. I think the biggest thing, you know, like is the lugs. Make sure that the shoes have a lot of surface area because when you're using them on the slippery rocks, you want to have a lot of surface versus, you know, six, like, you know, lugs and that's it versus more surface area.
Yeah, so not like lugs like a baseball cleat. You'd rather have the
yeah, not needed.
Yeah, so don't. No. I'll leave the soccer cleats
in. Yeah, no racing until I have soccer cleats. Noted. Because some of them, like,
you know, those what's it called? Those Solomons with the black and blue.
Yeah, Chris has those ones.
Yeah. You want, you know, like those, you know, like Hokas that we used at Casco Bay that you had.
Those Zanals?
Yeah. That's what we used. The only problem about those shoes, I thought they made a huge difference for us, is you also need on top of that, you need a durable shoe because you're out on these big rocks and you're clunking. And you're hitting stuff, and there's tree roots, and you're so you need a shoe that probably has like a carbon inside or whatever too, with a little bit of outside, you know, while being floating. It's just
okay.
It's crazy. It's crazy. We definitely need some kind of like magical shoe like that.
Okay, the Swedes haven't figured out already. I guess we're doing some shoe experimentation as well, and we've talked to. Few other folks about
you need a carbon titanium inside plate.
There you go.
Yeah, that sounds
go out and run on pier rocks, you know, jetty and piers. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Talking about those big rocks. Go do those, and then after the race, you can be like, holy shit, those bastards are right. You're like, this isn't just a flat trail run,
yeah. right?
You don't
right.
practice on trails for this race,
yeah. It's crazy. We've even heard that the first couple islands, like. Don't even really plan on running it. Just try to stay upright and just understand
don't
that it's pretty
exactly.
hikey.
Just get your knees, honestly. However you have to pistol, do it, make sure those squat. Things are ready to take
a squat. Yeah, pistol squat. That's what you need to guys do. That's what I told Sean when we started. He remembers. I was like, dude, we got to do pistol squats because if we can do those, we're ready for the race. Him and the coach laughed at me, and here we are again here. I'm telling you, the gut. Okay. My gut told me pistol squat.
We beat our tongue by an hour and a half, so we didn't do too bad.
Yeah, for folks at home, a pistol squat is a one-legged single leg squat where you put the other leg out. So it's like the.
Can you guys do pistol. Those? I bet you guys can do one, right?
I can go down. I can't come back.
I could probably no.
No,
if Chris
you
can't do it. I can't.
No,
do it.
Dude, pistol squats are super hard.
No,
Chip, can you guys make me a promise? Can you guys put it into your thing without hurting yourself?
Sure.
Get you guys doing some pistol squats.
Oh, you want it
sure.
on the for the Instagram? We'll tag you.
Do you
when
want
we're
verification?
Doing a pistol squat. Yeah.
No. I don't need you to tag me. I need you just to do them slowly and get those pistols ready for the damn race.
We're gonna get the pistons ready. Don't you worry, Phil. The
pistols.
Okay. Let's stick with the gear talk. So, sounds like shoes are gonna be really important. Make sure you have enough. Did you feel? Have you all done like ultra marathon? Trail running at all where you've done a 50K or 50 miler or anything like
that?
Yeah,
Phil, didn't you do North Face 50?
I've done one. Okay. Yeah, I was one.
Would,
the San Francisco one with you guys, yeah. 2019
or 19. Nice. Did you feel that the quote-unquote like miles or the time on your feet for Attila is similar to how like an ultra marathon would feel, or is it not as much pounding consistently because you have big chunks where you're off your feet, where you're swimming?
No, you know, I would say the swimming is actually not that bad the whole day. I think you guys are ready for the swims. It's the legs. Like you're not really pounding because you're kind of hopping and landing and kind of just moving along this like tough terrain, you know? You know, that's what it is. Yeah.
Okay. I'm picking up what you're putting down. Be ready for moving and shaking.
Moving and shaking, yeah. Your body, like you're gonna want to go.
Yeah,
this thing
is, you come out of the swims
look,
cold, so your legs aren't working half the time. So you're sort of hobbling out of the water, especially as the race goes on, because your body temperature drops and your lactic acid starts building up in your muscles, and So it's trying to figure that out too.
Move slow out of the water. You know, don't race, you know, out of the water or into the water until you really get a grip on it. But you will be caught off guard during the race somewhere where you think you're good and all of a sudden you slip or you just, it's going to happen to you. So stay focused. I think concentrating in this race is where you step. Make sure you're stepping on something solid and legit because you don't want to end your race, you know, on something just like, so going back to, like you're just concentrating, like the race kind of goes by for me fast. I think Sean can attest to that is because the whole race, we're just concentrating on getting to the, you know, to the water, swimming, getting out, make sure we get out and then start running. Make sure also that you're not, you know, getting lost because, you know, the markers, it's very open. So, you know, make sure that it's kind of heads up racing and you guys are going in the right direction. I think we got lost once or twice this year or like last year. It definitely happens.
It does go quickly. I mean, the thing is that the surroundings are so beautiful and you obviously in nature with your friend and you see other people. The race goes really quickly.
Yeah.
And it's, the swims are incredible. The views are incredible. I would also recommend like just enjoy it too. It's like, obviously you guys aren't trying to win the race. Neither were we. We're trying to be competitive for ourselves, but it's also, it's a great experience. You only get to do this maybe once, maybe twice. Who knows?
That's our outlook as well.
No, I mean, it's funny. Yeah, that's definitely our outlook. And there's what we've been telling ourselves is just like, hey, stay upright. You know, like that's goal number one. Like no injuries, you know, no broken hands or broken feet or anything. Like that's goal number one.
Be conservative.
Last time we chatted with you, you both were doing a little bit of cold water therapy, doing the ice bath and thing like that. How did you feel that sort of helped you prepare for the waters over there in the Baltic?
We both love the cold. I mean, I think it really helps you mentally. I would say since the race is such a mental race, anything that you can do that creates adversity helps you. So like cold water is a mental training, and I would say physically it does help. You know, you kind of, you get used to that feeling of being cold and get past it, start enjoying it. We actually like the cold in a strange way.
You know, the biggest thing at the race is like you're going to be cold at times. But if you guys are already 3-4 hours into it, you guys are fine. You know, it's just like, just always remember that once you get in the water, you just put your head down and you just swim and you'll become warm. It's very simple. It's a simple formula. So as long as you stick to that, you'll be okay. You know, then when you get out of the water, make sure you guys are getting out of the, because you're going to be stiff. You're going to be cold. It's going to be slippery. It's not going to be these American type in and out of the water safe. You know, they don't care.
Yeah, they don't give a shit.
They're like, no, the line's this way because it's been here for 20 years. Or now it's going this way because this neighbor this year decided not to give us rights. And now we have to swim through sewage, which you probably have to do too. You know, when it's really, you will. They'll say it's sewage. Okay, so just keep your, just don't mind it. You know, it's like a big, like, it's like a churning churn and it goes through some guy's, you know, sewage, you know, so it's coming.
Wow, this is some, you're like, making this more exciting, like Attila real time right here.
I want you guys to be ready, you know, so it doesn't,
we appreciate that, and we really appreciate
the night before,
you know, we really appreciate you guys reaching out, congratulating us, and just like telling us, it's like, hey, we need to have a call because there's some knowledge we want to impart and we're here for it. So you know,
you guys are going to enjoy it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Is there one more thing I can talk about that's very important?
Talk about anything you want. The floor is yours, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to, because you guys are going to go, and I know you guys are the low type boys, right? Like everyone loves you guys.
That's right.
Everyone wants to say hi. Everyone's going to want signatures. But it's going to happen. You know, I'm being dead serious. You guys are cool guys. You guys are the voice of swimrun in the community. But here's what's going to happen is on Sunday at 2 or 3 or whatever, or 1 or 2 something, the bus is going to pick you up, right? And you're going to go to this hotel, and then there's going to be a conference that they're going to feed you. Well, don't forget, the next morning you're waking up at 3 in the morning because breakfast starts at 3:45. You got to be on the ferry like 4:30 because at 5:30 you get to the damn thing.
Yep.
And between 5:30 and 6, the gun is going to go off any moment because they have to wait for the ship to go by. Once the ship goes by, the channel is clear, right? So you better go to bed. You're going to eat. Don't eat too much. You're going to go to bed probably by 8 or 9. Yeah. Now, don't forget, you know, to get enough sleep and to go to bed early because everyone's going to be trying to talking to you guys. And
everyone's going to be wanting to high five the low tide boys.
Yeah.
Tell some jokes.
Yeah.
And like I said, like,
just chill, you can take up so much energy. I know Phil gets super chatty when we get there.
Too much energy.
Chat with everyone.
Yeah. You got to shut down. And so I just don't want you guys to. Yeah. It's going to go by real quick. But, you know, like, you know, just don't. Because, like, my biggest mistake, I think, like, this year was I ate too much at that damn dinner before. And then I forgot that we're waking up so early because I need to get up around 5 or 6. I go in the toilet. I drop the nugget. It's beautiful. And I'm done. That morning, I couldn't drop it. So I started the race with the unknown nugget in my stomach, you know? So it's no excuses. It's just there was so much other planning that other stuff got in the way, you know?
Hey, you know what? That's
keep your head on the swivel and make sure you get enough sleep, you know what I'm saying, the day before.
And poop.
You know?
Yeah, definitely try to get those poops out. So here's a little bit of, I have some questions about that. So we're probably going to get there a few days early because we think we're going to have some commitments, and we're going to try to get a lot of like the, hey, meeting all these people that we've been like chatting to for all like early. Do you guys get a chance? I mean, I guess you've already done the race, but did you guys get a chance to go out to Uta or anything before just to kind of scope out the course or anything like that? Or you guys just showed up and raced?
The first year I did, which was really helpful. I actually went out with Andy Hewitt. Mm-hmm. We went a few days and we did like the last 10 kilometers of the course. And I would say if you haven't been over there and done any of those islands, I would say it makes a huge difference just mentally, especially running the last little bit.
Yeah.
Just because you can feel the terrain, you get your body used to the water.
Yep.
I would say mentally, if you can go to Uta and just run around there a bit, do a little bit of stuff, I would definitely recommend it.
Cool.
Yeah, ask Andy Hewitt. Yeah, he'd tell you the plan.
I would say as soon as you get off the plane, get into the water as soon as you can. I feel like it really helps with jet lag, just resetting your system, that cold water.
Cold, yep.
Do a few workouts. Don't like kind of sit around too long.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And then on the gear part, did you feel that you had a good, you picked the right wetsuit? Were you wearing arm warmers? Anything in particular that you felt was really beneficial for you or that you would have changed?
Well, we used, you know, we're lucky to be, you know, helped by Arca. I think they make the best products. It's very simple, you know, it's sleek. I mean, they really think about the sport. It's not like, oh, this is a triathlon thing. Let's see if it works, right?
Yeah.
So their gear. So what we did, I believe we used, is it
the Orno X?
Uta.
Uto X.
Orno X.
Yeah, the more thinner Orno one. X. Not the. That's not the Uto. The more.
Uto. Yeah, we used the Uto.
Okay.
It was thinner anyway.
The wetsuit was amazing. Yeah, we used the latest version from Arc, the Uta. And
no arm warmers. It wouldn't be.
No arm warmers, no long socks, nothing like that. I mean, I think you guys are similar to us. We're like pretty big guys, and heat is more of a problem than cold generally.
Mm-hmm. We use the kangaroo, obviously, to hold all that stuff. Obviously, I'm sure you guys have the kangaroos, and you guys are practicing running and fueling and knowing where everything's at. If you come to the race, like, ready to go. There's no, you know, I need to stop or do something, you know.
Yeah, sure, no, we're planning on, in terms of, like, the swim run technique, we're feeling pretty good about that. In fact, our last race, I think, if we were giving ourselves a grade on just swim run technique, it was definitely B+, A- on that. I think we were, we were doing it right.
Felt really solid process on that. Very fluid.
Mm-hmm. You guys have got this. I feel like you guys know.
Yeah, I mean, we're super stoked. I mean,
stoked. Just get those knees ready, honestly.
Yeah, that's legs. Super helpful feedback. I think I think definitely a point well taken that we need to make sure that we're working on our strength because it helps meet our first goal, which is trying to stay upright. You can't stay upright if you can't lift your legs up and you're tripping on stuff so sore and tight and stuff.
Yeah, spend some time, you know, I spent some time watching all the Otolo YouTube. You know, unfortunately, they don't have too much and it's all old, but it kind of gets you kind of looking at stuff, you know, like just look at the course and you're going to be like, you know, this isn't a half marathon, you know, with whatever.
Yeah, it's not a rock and roll half. in San Diego.
It's not.
Rock and roll in like San Antonio.
And I'd done it before. I've been kicking myself in the butt because like this year or like last year, for some reason, we just still didn't get the legs. It's crazy. Each year you do it, you find something, you go, why didn't I do this before? Like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. But, and so now me and Sean are working, you know, on other stuff that we want to improve.
It's just because that terrain doesn't really exist where we live.
It doesn't.
You know? So you got to go out there and, I mean, we live in San Diego.
Find the nastiest like terrain you can where people are dying or breaking legs. That's what you do.
You know, so.
Simple.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Where it's boring. And you know, and like, I think also like in 2009 when we did it, it was kind of misting the whole time. So, or I would just say like 80% of the time. So that also added more moisture everywhere. Where this year I felt it was a little more drier too. So if you get a wet year, I mean, you really want to watch your feet. You know, each foot placement should take some energy. Like, do I really want to step here? Because you're going to see people going this way, people going that way and scrambling, you know, like specifically the first 5 miles, really just set your own tone. Just really just like, you know what I'm saying? Like get a pace for how the terrain is. Mm-hmm. And I think.
I've seen these guys on the dance floor, Phil. They're fine with jumping around.
I'm like thinking like what dance? Oh, this is a joke. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's funny. That's point well taken. I mean, I think that we're definitely, this is something that Marcus Barton mentioned, I think on the course preview for Swim Run NC, where it's like, hey, if you can't trust your footing, like that's just a bad way to be. Like you need to have whatever shoes you're doing, whatever strength you're doing. You have to trust that when you put your foot down, it's going to stick because otherwise it's a problem. And I think that's kind of what you're alluding to, which, I mean, the more we hear that, the better, I think.
The reinforcement.
Technical trail running. It's just practicing technical, the better trail runner you are.
Like a little elevation, a little jump, a little kind of two steps rock that's, you know, two steps high. You got to get up it. You know, especially
very dynamic.
After, I'm sorry?
Very dynamic setting. It's always changing.
Yeah. You know, then also like, I mean, specifically after the pig swim, right? So right before the pig swim, at least one or two gels and food, you know, whatever you can, you know, for sure. Then when you get out of the water, like for some reason, the pig swim is fairly easy because you just put your head down and you go and you look up and there's the light. It's kind of an island. Like you can't really miss, like, you know what I'm saying, where you're going. Mm-hmm. But the big swim didn't feel cold this year, but boy, when we got out of that water, and those are the biggest rocks. They're literally huge, like boulders, like 2-3 feet big that you're climbing out of, and you're tired and you're cold and they're jagged, you know, and you know that right up there, there's that Twix that they're, you know, that they're going to give you.
Oh, here.
And you're like, you want to get to it. Yeah. But then after that, it's very kind of weird technical running and you're cold and stiff. So really, and you're kind of at the top of a mountain and you got wind and water just kind of just blazing you.
I love it.
You know, so.
I love it.
Was it the right or the left Twix, Phil? Which one do they give you, do you think?
I always go with the left, of course.
Okay, yeah.
Well, there you go.
It's a good idea.
I think the right one's better. It's always a little chewier.
Perfect.
Mine's more crispy.
Got a little more.
Yeah.
They're extra caramel.
Well, whistle. You know what? I can't think of a better place to sort of end this conversation. Yeah.
The wheels
have gone completely off the rails. I mean,
also, at the end of the race, you need to hit the bar and smash a few shots there with the bartender.
Yes.
It's some good stuff behind the bar there. Tough to find any tequila, but you can find some good whiskeys and
sounds
things.
Good. Sounds good.
Sounds like I'll be in for a nap after. Thank
Sean, Philip, we love you guys. Thank you so much for coming on for a third time. This is amazing.
Threepeat, baby.
Also, our first team ever to come on, first people ever respond to our DMs when we started this crazy thing way back when. Thank you so much for the advice. I'm sure we'll be talking to you guys offline about as we get ready, if we have any questions. And thank you so much. We really appreciate you guys.
Thank you, guys. We wish we were going to be there alongside you. It would be fun to be on the course together. You guys are great.
Awesome.
Great fun, good people. So thank you for having us.
Thanks, yes, guys. Good luck. Cheers. Good luck. We love you guys and all the best. And I want to see some good performance, okay? I want to see some performance out there.
We won't let you down.
There'll be something.
Okay.
There'll be something out there. Don't you worry. All right. Thanks, boys.
Keep the nuggets intact.
Well, always great to hear from those guys. And
yeah,
again, once again, really appreciate them for
Candor. Lots of candor.
lots of things to think about. You know, yeah. I mean, there's just so much. And I also think, too, and sort of not to totally tee up the next guest, but we do have to...
Wait, isn't that what we're doing?
I know. Well, not to tee it up so perfectly, I suppose. But to understand and be... We have to be willing... We got to accept that we're not going to be on top of everything. And there's going to be stuff that we're just not going to be perfect on. And mm-hmm. I think that's totally okay. And we're both in the place now where it feels like we're okay with not being totally exactly. on top of stuff. Just like Sean and Philip mentioned too. Hey, oh, we forgot you wake up way earlier, didn't have time to hit the bathroom like you normally would have, or had eating different food and things like that. Okay. Yeah, you're not going to be able to control everything. So just... Mm-hmm. being there
and I think in training as well, it's like, hey, you just, I think we're both of the mindsets like, hey, we're doing the best we can. We show up at workouts, we're showing up and just giving them what we have, whether yeah. it's, you know, 100% that day, 80 or whatever, but just show up and do the work. And I think that like we both trust that we're both doing going to be as prepared as possible for that thing. And I think that yeah. that really tees it up to this conversation we had with Susie, who we had her on about a year and a half ago after mm-hmm. this was like right after she was on Fanny and Desiree's like award show for the Christmas endurance challenge. Yes. I forget what it was called.
The gala.
Yeah, it was the gala. And she just talked for like 30 minutes. And I reached out to her like right after. I was like, hey, can we have you on the show? Yeah. So that was a year and a half ago. We asked her to come back because, hey, we're talking about training. Last month, we're talking about, you know, very specific things in terms of nutrition and fueling. And we thought, well, why don't we talk about the mind a little bit and how to kind of sort of make sure you're not psyched out?
Yeah. I mean, anyone that's done any endurance stuff, whether it's a ride or you're doing ultra marathons or whatever, like you're going to go into highs and you're going to go into lows. And she knows and talks a lot about tools that can yep. help you deal with that a lot better. And it's not a piece of gear that you buy and stuff in your kangaroo top. Hashtag not sponsored. But, you know, it's tools that you have in your head that you can help talk you through the stuff and keep you kind of grounded and focused and work through the lows quicker. So we know, hey, we're going to be out there for 10, 11, 12 hours, mm-hmm. it's gonna dip down.
Yeah,
we're gonna have one of us,
exactly.
You know,
hopefully
so
we gotta be ready. And I was telling you after, so when we're recording this, we had a swim this morning. It was a 4K swim. It got pretty spicy at the end, and I was kind of feeling a little bonky. Mm-hmm. And I literally applied what Susie Moonen was talking about in this episode, and yeah. just like it sort of just took myself out of my own head. I was like, oh man, I can't believe I'm freaking bonking on this thing. It's like, why am I bonking? But then it's like, okay, this is happening.
Yeah,
I see that it's happening, and I trust that I can still pull through because I pulled through hard stuff before. Like that was literally the analysis I had on, like, you know,
yards 3,200 through whatever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think I know the part that we're talking about.
Yeah, I think you do too, because I just started falling off.
I was also hurting.
But yeah. So she's awesome. Super grateful to have her on. I think to me this is required reading. Anyone who really wants to. It really have a positive experience in Attila.
Absolutely. And if you like what you hear with these guests, be sure to go back and check out the show notes. We have all their episodes that they've appeared formally in. So give a little bit of another listen if you like. But without further ado, get the notepads ready for this one. Susie Moonen, Push On Coaching.
All right. We are super stoked to have Susie Moonen back on the show. She's the owner of Push On Coaching. She's a sports psychologist. She's a sociologist. She's an elite swim runner. Susie, welcome back to the show after a year and a half.
Thank you so much. Happy to be on again.
Yeah, yes, we appreciate you. Really appreciate you taking the time. Before we get into sort of the meat and potatoes of this interview, sort of getting ready for Attila, how have you been? How's everything going with you?
Well, everything's pretty much fine. Thank you. Last time we spoke, I was also lying in the bed, just as I am right now. But then I had a newborn, Ellie. I think she was maybe 3 months, 2 or 3 months. And I had her just by my chest, breastfeeding at the same time as we were podcasting. And so I didn't have that much of a race here last year. And at the moment, I'm actually also lying in bed with pillows around me. And I've just gone through quite a big shoulder surgery. I've had a problem with my shoulder dislocating a lot during swim run races, actually. So now I just need a couple of weeks of rehab and I'm back into it again. So it'll be very nice to swim run without being constantly nervous that my shoulder will pop and not having to brief my partner what to do when it happens so I can keep on racing.
Wow, that's beyond the compass and the compression bandages, like resetting a shoulder. That wasn't in the mandatory briefing. So.
No, it's not. I actually had a swim run guy from Sweden called Johan running behind me at some point when we were in Cannes racing. And when my shoulder dislocated and he was just behind and he knew exactly what to do. So he just like looked me deep into the eyes and took my arms and then he just like, bam, put it back.
Oh,
so there are a lot of swim runners out there with a lot of competence that I didn't know.
Well, that's great because the pressure bandage, I'm feeling quite incompetent about how to leverage that. So hopefully Chris doesn't need that sort of
Well, I don't think anyone really knows how to use the compression bandages.
No. We can't bring YouTube either, can we?
Yeah.
That's the first step that I would do. How to use compression bandage for swim run injuries.
Yeah. We should make that video for sure.
Yeah.
So Susie, you are a super experienced coach. You work on sort of the mental side of things. You're affiliated with Envol Coaching. You've raced the world championship a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Last time we spoke, you know, we talked a little bit about sort of like, how do you mentally prepare for something like that? But now it seems much more acute because we need to mentally prepare for something like
it's
that.
What's happening?
So we'd love to kind of get, I guess, some perspective from you, sort of like, how do you approach a race of this magnitude without kind of putting it on a pedestal and just kind of like, you know, not getting sort of psyched out by your own sort of thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the last 2 years, we've had a great opportunity to work on a lot of our weaknesses. And I think that's what we spoke a lot about last time is what can you control and what can you not control? And kind of how to mentally prepare for that. And also kind of taking the time to work on the weaknesses that we all have, both when it comes to the physical and the psychological aspects of swim running. And now we've come to a point where we do have a racing calendar. Things are actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it for some, it's very exciting. Everybody's very excited, but it's also quite nervous. Be back into racing again. So my biggest advice, and some of the things that I work with a lot with the athletes that I meet every day, is to work on your values as an athlete. Like, what are my values on myself when I swim run? Like, how do I see myself as a swim runner? What is important to me? Why am I doing this? Like, what is the higher purpose of it? To really do that groundwork and figure that out, because that would be the milestone for all races throughout the whole year. Because that helps you both when it comes to the motivational part, all of the long sessions that needs to be done, especially when you're doing an earth-to-air race for world champs, when you're out there for at least 7-8 hours, and for most of us even longer.
Oh yeah.
So really figure out why am I doing this and how do I see myself as a swim runner? Am I a person that always strives to do my best no matter what? Is my most important value to support my teammate and for us to push each other as a team? When you can figure that out, when you know what that is, you hang on to that for all training session that you do and for every race that you will do. Because when you have those difficult moments during a race, and they are going to happen. It's completely normal when you're racing for so many hours, even if it's for the world championships or if it's for a shorter race in the ETA series. We all have those moments of doubt because we're putting out so much energy, so much physical energy. So our brain can't really cope with that. So that's why we have to kind of have our low every now and then. And that, knowing what your values are as an athlete, as a person in swim run, why am I doing this? That also kind of helps you to get back and to help you in those more difficult situations. And this is a really good thing to do both in a, on an individual basis, but to do it together with your partner and also figure out, so what is it that we're striving for together? Like, what is the higher achievement? We've qualified for ETA, that is our goal. But what is it that we want? And it doesn't have to be result based. It's deeper than that. It's more like, what are my values in the bigger picture? Like, why am I taking so much time from my family or from, you know, combining work with long sessions and diving into the sea or into the cold water the whole summer? Like, why am I doing that? Really to figure that out, because that is the core of everything, and it will help you so much during all the racing parts.
Yeah, those such great fundamentals to have there. And I think Chris and I, we just had our first race of the season here, and we felt really kind of locked in and super synced up. And I think a lot of that was because we are really aligned, and we have talked about it before, about what are we doing this year. And this race in particular, we were trying to, you know, do the best that we could with the fitness that we have and all the training that we've done. And we were excited to get out there and, you know, bust some rust, so to speak. But yeah, we both kind of approached it as like, this is one step on this long journey this year. That's a very long, we're in, you know, March, and our A race is not till September. So we have a lot of time. So let's not get too ahead of ourselves. Let's go out there, have fun.
Well, Chipper, we're in May, bud.
Yeah.
We're in May.
I'm in, the race is in, I said March. The race is in April. Anyway. Yeah, get out there. And it's kind of one step on the bigger journey for the year. And I feel like we're pretty locked in on being aligned for what our kind of pillars are. But do you find that most of those are, you know, is it, how many are, is it people are like, oh, they have kind of maybe like a physical thing of like, oh, I want to be, you know, get the most out of my body or have a really good performance and be outside and be in nature, and maybe like a family kind of related one? Are there certain buckets or trends that you see between your athletes of where these sort of focus areas usually index in?
Well, I would say that a lot of people are so thankful at the moment, and people are very like thankful for being able to race again. I mean, there's been so much bad things, obviously with COVID, but there's been, I think we're a lot better being thankful for being able to like travel or to be able to compete or be able to experience. I mean, for some of us, we haven't been in lockdowns. We haven't even been able to enjoy the nature surroundings around us. So I think I feel that this year, a lot of athletes, both in swim run and a lot of other sports with individuals that I work with, just feeling this like being thankful for, I'm in this setting and I'm able to do this race, and, you know, I'm swimming or I'm running or whatever it is. So I think people are going in with a lot more positive mindset and kind of taking away the outer pressure and the inner pressure that you might have. And I think that we will see a lot of great results from that, because we'll get in more of a state of flow, enjoying ourselves a lot more, because we know that, you know, it's been taken away from us once. Like, we who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. We all know that's a cliche, but we've actually been experiencing that the last 2 years, and the other things that are happening in Europe right now. I do think that we athletes in general have a more positive mindset getting into racing now again, and also training wise.
Yeah. So related to that, so as Chipper mentioned, I think that we both feel like we're super motivated and super stoked for Atala in September, but it's also 4 months away. So mm-hmm. I'm worried, you know, like we're trying not to flame out on all that enthusiasm. We know we got some long training up ahead. We got another race that's going to be really difficult. Mm-hmm. Do you have any strategies for us and anyone else who's racing the world championship on how you can sort of maintain, not that it needs to be such a sky high level of enthusiasm and motivation, but how do you like sort of titrate that so it lasts mm-hmm. all the way through to September?
Well, first, the motivational part is like the ground in mental skills. So there's this pyramid with 9 mental skills that's been researched in sports psychology, where they look at what kind of mental skills do you need to be able to perform well. And this is used in sports, but it's also used within everyday life, actually, that what is it that makes us perform well at work or, you know, in our family as well. Sometimes that, like, what mental skills do I need? And a lot of athletes, they come to a sports psychologist or to a sports counselor because they feel that I'm very anxious before I'm competing. Like, how can I deal with that? But then when we look at the other mental skills, like motivation being one of them, they might lack of it. And motivation, that's one of the 4 like base fundamental mental skills. So with that said, I'm so happy for you for having the motivation so high, because already there, you've done so much of the work. Now you just need to do some practice as well. Just do some running and swimming. You've got it.
Yeah.
But I would say really looking at, you know, when I talked about the values as an athlete or me as a person in swim run. So if you see yourself on a running track, you're running and you're close to the goal or close to the finish line. And then if you imagine there's a monster standing on the side, like spewing out fire. And in that fire, there's negative thoughts or negative feelings. And that can be doubt. It can be thoughts of not being able to cope. And while you're racing, this is most likely going to happen at some point. And it's up to you and how you can work with this during the months coming up to is figure out what is that monster spitting out on us as a team. Like, what will be our obstacles, like mentally? And in that moment, choosing, you can either take the back door and choose not to cross and that fire that the monster is spewing out. Mm-hmm. You can choose to go in the back door and not face all of these difficult things that might occur. Or you can choose to have your strategies and run through it and still cross the finish line. And to be able to do that is, 1, figuring out your values, as I said. 2, figuring out what triggers you might have as an individual and as a team. And when we have 4 months coming up to ETA, it's a great opportunity to do those longer sessions or other races and just try, just, you know, evaluate, like, what did I find out about myself today? What did we find out of ourselves as a team today? And use that information and how, what strategies that you put in when you cross that monster with the spitfire. Because then you can pass it, and motivation is one way of crossing through it, but also working on your concentration as a team and as an individual, like working on how do we regain focus during racing? How do we get back into space, into that flow, or into more positive mindset as a team? And just having those discussion and really, really trying out these different strategies that you as a team figure out together. And that way you can evaluate it. And when it's time for race day on the 5th of September, you have that like luggage with you. You have the backpack with you in the back of your head, and you know what to do when you have those, when you're meeting that monster.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting way to frame it, because I mean, one of the ways that I sort of visualize that is like, hey, there's in a race, regardless of the event or style, right? There's all these moments where there's opportunities for courage, where things might be tough, might be a big mountain you got to climb on the way or whatever, or the water's cold. That's a big one for me.
That's one of your monsters.
Yeah. You know, and it's just like, just keep my mantra is always like, just try to keep moving forward. But for me, like something like the World Champs, where it's such a long day, there's obviously lots of opportunities for courage. How do you sort of develop, you know, how can you practice that sort of outside of a race setting and sort of outside of Atala? Like, or the first time we're ever going to get to be on sort of like the holy ground of swim run is going to be on race day. Hopefully a couple of days before we can get out to Uta or something. Do you have any strategies on how we can sort of practice that and sort of develop it so that by the time we're there, we're sort of stronger for it?
Definitely. I would say, even though you won't be, I mean, you can study the race in advance in many ways without actually being there. We have maps, we have like previous race reports. So one thing is really read through, get all of that read through. And so you know what kind of course that you're going to go through. There's a lot of material out there, a lot of blogs and maps to look at. But the other thing is to, this is the most difficult one, I would say, for myself, is to really trust the process. That is not being afraid of the unknown and just relying on your body that it's doing, maybe it hasn't been out for 10 or 12 hours before, but it's probably been running and probably been swimming before. And trusting that what you're doing can be very scary and very, very difficult, but it's not dangerous, right? Relaxing and trusting yourself and that what you're doing, like when your feet are just moving ahead, just taking those extra breaths and just rely on the process, rely on yourself, rely on your teammates and try to relax. Being tense and worried that not having to do things before is completely normal. And the more that we kind of get nervous or and don't rely on ourselves or us as a team, the more that energy goes more towards that than to actually perform the race. So I would say outside of these months coming up, putting yourself in like difficult physical challenges and relying on your body that it's fine and it's not dangerous, and you're reprogramming your head around this as well. One thing can be just doing these really hard threshold sessions, for instance. Most of us find that quite difficult when we're doing something really hard physically. But when we do it, we train our minds that this is not dangerous. It's not dangerous to feel the smell of mjölksyra, when you feel the lactic acid like in your mouth, you know, from like the taste of blood nearly like in your mouth. It's not dangerous, it's fine, my body's pushing itself, like I'm proud of you, I'm impressed, like kind of using those framework, that way of wording yourself is one way of building courage.
I like that. So sort of, if I'm capturing all this correctly, if you do some work to identify your values and your pillars of things that matter to you personally and the like during the event, and then identify your quote unquote your monsters or your things that you have difficulty dealing with during hard times, and then during your training session, similar to how you would train for fueling or running faster, you have to kind of expose yourself to your monsters, so to speak, during this training session. And then you can kind of practice if that's like a mantra that you say to yourself, or, you know, like, oh, let me have some courage now. Or I like to, I try to remember like, oh, we've had really hard sessions on the track or really hard swims. I've done this before. I've done a 500 swim at 90% effort or whatever it is. Kind of recalling back to those things, and that sort of loads up your backpack, so to speak. Do I have that all sort of?
Yes, thank you so much for summing that up so perfectly. That's exactly what I mean. And the best thing is, in swimrun, you have your partner that can remind you of this, because we know that when we're so tired physically, our mind is not functioning as it would be normally. So having this dialogue with your teammate, so your teammate can actually say that, hey, look, remember when we did this one race once, and we did that, we made it, like we're there now as well, we can do this. And this is your head talking, like your legs, just keep on running, or have your arms keep on going, we've got this. Because sometimes it's difficult to kind of take that out of your backpack yourself. So you need your partner to help you in that, and maybe also seeing the signals, maybe when you need that extra push.
Yeah, I love that. And that really speaks. I mean, Chris and I, we talk about a lot like how key communication is. And I mean, that's a very different level of communication than when you say communication. Oh, run faster, run slower, swim faster, swim slower. Yeah, that's communication, but also sort of having the vulnerability or being vulnerable to say, hey, when I'm in a bad way, Chris, I like to be reminded about great workouts that we had together or a really good race that we had. And he can kind of feed me those things if I can't help myself do it, and vice versa.
Yeah.
What I would add to that is I think, kind of like where I come at it from like a teammate perspective is it's from a perspective of like love. Where it's like, I care about the other person, whether we have a great result or not, like that doesn't change our relationship, which is at this point between Chipper and I mean, we're basically brothers at this point. And our experience together is enriched because we're doing it together. When we mentioned values, to me, like that's the first thing I thought of when you brought that up. It's like, oh, well, I love Chipper. So that's the sort of the basis of everything that we're doing together. And I wonder, obviously when you get to the race and things happen and we got to work on our communication and things like that, do you have any suggestions on sort of like cues that we should have with each other or that teams can have to just help each other when it does start going dark, like ways to check in or sort of a process that you'd recommend?
Definitely. I would say the first thing is to do it beforehand. If you know already that, say, Anna Hellström and I, we raced at 2019, and she said that I usually at Ona, the 20K run, I've bonked like every year. She told me like that's my weak point because I don't eat like properly up until then. So that's when I have my moments. So she told me this and I knew it, so I could like beforehand I had marked on my paddle like an hour before reaching to Ona. I was like, hey, you need to kick in some extra energy. And the funny thing is that she told me, she's like, no, because your head isn't working properly when you're racing, right? You're so tired. She's like, I'm fine. I was like, no, you eat it now. You have that, like we had these chocolate balls. So she's like, take one. She took it, and if it was that or if it was other factors, I don't know, but she ran through Ona pretty well year. So to answer your question, I would say go through it beforehand, like what are my weak points, like when do I know that I know if you're sensitive of the cold, for instance, maybe the pig swim is a swim where it's more difficult. Maybe you need your partner to kind of come with something encouraging before that. Write down on your paddle, put a star or something to say something, hey, let's go, or we can do it, or like whatever, wording you're comfortable with. But it really doesn't have to be any big things. It can be all from tapping the shoulder or pulling the line like an extra two times, or you can do it in wording, just encouraging words, the most important thing for both the team and you as an individual when you're racing is to focus on the actions that you're doing and not to focus that much on your emotions when you're racing or your thoughts. They all affect each other, like how you act and the behavior that you have in or out of racing in your sports life or in your everyday life. We can wake up one day and we just feel really low. It happens. We're humans. We just have days sometimes when we're not feeling on top. And there's thoughts connected to that, that I'm not good enough or, you know, this sucks or I hate this. And that affects your behavior. You might pull out of activities that you were going to do, for instance. And that this turns into a negative spiral. Same when you're racing. So what you need to do is focus on what am I doing now that will affect my emotions and my thoughts, because that's so much easier to do than to wait for the right emotions to come.
Yeah.
So yeah. Same when you're in the race, if you wake up I can't remember what time you get up to race for.
I think it's too early.
I know I've forgotten, but I think I've just like
block that out.
It's before four, right? It's like 3:30 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's no point going to bed early, but yeah, something like that. If you wake up that morning, and all of a sudden you have that feeling, I am feeling a bit low, or man, I didn't wake up energized. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what thoughts you have or what feelings you have. It's how you act. And if you act in a way that you know is towards your values as an athlete, and that will have a positive effect on your mindset and your emotions. 10 years ago, we were talking a lot about how to change your negative thoughts into positive. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think a lot of us in school, we learned that, oh, but you take two positive thoughts and you exchange that for negative thoughts. And in the end, you'll think positive. And today we know a lot. We know more in psychology. We know more in sports psychology. We know that just changing thoughts like that is very difficult. But if we focus on our actions, so what you're doing towards your partner could have a really good effect on probably your own thoughts and emotions. And that would be, I mean, it's contagious. Your partner will feel that as well. So that's another, you know, tip to think about before going into the race and the months coming up now. So what actions can I have during...
You know, Susie, I really love that, because I mean, I'm familiar with that concept, but not necessarily in the race concept, the concept of sort of like mood follows action. So if you want to, you know, you don't have to be psyched up to do the thing, you do the thing and then you get sort of psyched up from having done it.
Yeah.
And I hadn't really thought about that in the way that you're mentioning it, but it makes so much sense. Like, you know, like, if you just focus on the process and be like, well, I might be feeling low, but I still have to get on that ferry to go to Sanham to do this thing. So you might as well just start heading that way.
Yeah.
But I love the idea too of like, you know, always thinking about how you're feeling, you know, or what actions you can do to move forward, but also like looking out for your partner as well and having that be, you know, sort of symbiotic in the sense that, you know, I always feel this way that like swim runners, you're more than the sum of your parts when you're a team. Like your ability to dig deep and do more because you're looking out for your partner, you want to do well for him or her, she or him wants to do well for you. Like you're able to accomplish more than what you might think you're capable of. And I'm sure that's something that you've seen a lot in the athletes that you coach. But do you have any thoughts on like how do you maintain that for, you know, 10 to 12 hours like on race day?
Well, I think one thing is before you go into such a big race, just being prepared that you will at some point lose concentration, because that's mm-hmm. actually what you do. And when it happens, not putting too much energy into it or being too stressed about this happening, say that, you know, thoughts or feelings of, I don't know if I can do any more of this, or I'm too tired, or thoughts like that, or feelings like that. It's so being prepared that that is part of the process as well. When you're being active for so many hours, your brain can't be on the whole time. So that's my first advice. And my second advice is that when that happens, just imagine it being your thoughts, and your thoughts does not have to be real. So that is just not putting so much energy into it. These cartoons, and you see a cartoon saying something, you see a bubble like over the cartoon when they're saying something. Just imagine yourself in the same way, like, okay, so this is what my brain is thinking right now. Okay, I see that, I hear that, but here I am. I'm still running, I'm still swimming, or maybe taking a little walk on Una, and that's fine. So in that way, trusting the process that this is completely normal, and I am not putting that much energy into it, because I know this will happen when I'm out there for so many hours.
Yeah, noting the negative thought, I guess, is sort of one good tactic as well. And I really appreciate how you you're out there for so long, it's going to happen. You can't be riding flying high the whole race for, 8 hours, 12 hours, no matter how long you're out there. It's just not possible. So having the wherewithal to approach the race and even understand that, yeah, there's going to be highs and lows if you've done any sort of long endurance event. And then going back to what you said, sort of back to the fundamentals or your core values of that, you both know, or you're aligned in what you're moving towards. So you can always fall back on that, for lack of a better phrase. And you know, your partner probably is aligned, or you guys have chatted about it, and you're closely aligned, and you know, when you fall back on those things, you can move forward much quicker because you have those fundamentals to sort of go back on.
Yeah, definitely. And I can also imagine if you get into this state of mind, you might be very, very tired, and all the things that I'm saying right now might be difficult to kind of pick up after, mm-hmm. 9 hours into the race. So what was it I was supposed to work on? What were our strategies? It can be difficult. So as you say, in beforehand, just understand that it is going to happen. And when it does happen, just breathing through it and pushing through it. And you can do so much more than you can imagine. All of us, pro athletes and not pro athletes, and we can push so much more further than we could ever imagine. So if we can just take a deep breath and kind of breathe through these moments and just keep on going without thinking, we can strive and we can go through so much more. And so it's really cool when you are in those difficult mental states during races and you come through it. It's just, you're so proud of yourself. It doesn't matter what the time says, crossing the finish line. You're just so, I think everybody should really, have straight backs and be so proud of themselves for completing something that's been so difficult, even more mentally than physically. So being proud of yourself when you've done it.
Yeah, I mean, I think totally. And I think we've heard that from previous guests as well. It's like, hey, you're finishing the world championship. The only people you're competing with is yourself and your ability to get the most. If you can get the most out of yourself, then you've won. One thing that you mentioned, it's blowing my mind, to be honest, because the similarities of what you're talking about in terms of when you have a negative thought or you feel down, just to kind of go back to test out the process, it reminds me a lot of just meditation, where You're focusing on your breathing. When a thought enters, you acknowledge that it's a thought, and then you just let it go and go back to your breath. I hadn't thought about that in sort of in the racing context, but it makes total sense. Like, you know, that allows you to go back to that mindful headspace where you are back sort of in your zone and you're focusing on the process and working with your partner to achieve your goals. So thank you for that. I mean, that was almost revelatory. Now you've raced the world championship a bunch of times. Do you have any particular advice of like parts of the race where you think it would make sense for us or anyone who's racing it for the first time or the 10th time, who knows, where there's good points to kind of do like sort of like mental check-ins with your partner, mm-hmm. whether it's mm-hmm. like on Runmara or as soon as you get on Orna or before or after the pig swim, during the pig swim, who knows? Do you have some spots where you think, okay, this is a good place to kind of do a quick check-in, inventory check on our values, how we're feeling and all that stuff during the race?
I would say, as I know, a lot of us fear or find the pig swim difficult and Orna. I think those are like two most like classical points where people really find it difficult. Just before that, it doesn't. I know we're all on the clock, right? We don't want to consume too much time, but before the pig swim and Orna, definitely make sure to take maybe 10 seconds and look into each other's eyes. Because we don't during the race, usually see your partner's back or feet. Yeah. Take 10 seconds, just look into each other's eyes and just, you know, because it's also comforting and relaxing. And it doesn't matter if you've been racing with your partner for a long, long time or if it's a new partner to you. It is very soothing to just have that check with each other, look at each other. If you want to, you can say something or not, but just being like, hey, we're here. You know, let's take this. We know what's coming up. We've practiced it mm-hmm. either in the water or running, or we've spoken about it. We know what's happening. You know, let's do it. We're ready. Like, I think that's a really good way of checking in during the race. I know some couples or some teams, they talk like the whole race. I was once another women's team passed us just after the pig swim, and they were just like laughing and running, and they're like ponies, like, you know, coming past us. And me and my teammate then, Biben, we were just like trying to breathe ourselves through it. And then, yeah, so we're all different how much we talk to each other during the race. So, but check in with each other at least twice. Just look into each other's eyes and, you know, make sure your partner's there mentally as well.
You're probably thinking, are they doing the same race that we're doing?
Yeah.
Because I'm dying. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. I really do like that, the physical action of like looking at somebody. And I think kind of, Chris and I actually did this not intentionally, but now we look like we know what we were doing. But right before the race that we had a couple weekends ago, we just were like, okay, let's go. Mm-hmm. Like we just had a little 2-second pep talk and we're like, let's go, you know, pat on the back, and then we were kind of ready. Like we knew that that's what helped sort of get us kind of locked in. So having those times, that's a really, really good tip. Or knowing little things that you can do throughout the race of like, oh, we got this, or just if it's a little mantra or a little quote or something that kind of brings it all back to reality, seems like the thing to do to help sort of ground you again.
Yeah, it, definitely. And like throughout a race, like you will be, your psychological flexibility will be tested. And your psychological flexibility, a very difficult word to say in English, by the way, stumble on words.
You're doing great.
I'm not even going to try.
you can practice this beforehand, like how you can cope with unexpected situations. I mean, during racing or, you know, outside the sports arena, you can actually practice this. Like, how flexible am I when something unexpected happens during a race? I lose my goggles. I lose my paddle. Like, how good am I able to cope with that situation? And one way is actually like mindfulness and meditation, like what you just mentioned, just being, you know, that is so simple tools to work with now all the way up to air, mindfulness and meditation. So if you haven't like tried it, like really give it a chance, because in the end of the day, it will help you how you cope with difficult situations.
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
Totally.
To bring it in there on a sort of daily practice method. And it doesn't have to be this whole to do, like, oh, you know, you got to like black out curtains and get the pillow when it's 45 minutes and all this sort of stuff. It could be 5 minutes before you start your day at work, or even just a minute or two on a daily basis, kind of building up that resiliency and flexibility.
Oh yeah, it's mental. Really easy. Like if I take myself as an example, because that's always easiest. Like I would have a tendency to shower and like clean the toilets at the same time at home. You know, just, you know, while I'm in the bathroom, I might as well do this and this and this and this. So I've been practicing just taking a shower and just standing in the shower, just feeling the water, like feeling the temperature, listening to the sounds. And that's 5 minutes. And I take the cleaning at another point during the day. So just having that like me moment. So figure out what your me moment is. Like, when is it? Is it in the sauna after, you know, shower after your practice, or eating, just feeling all the senses while you're eating. So it can be really, really easy if you're more comfortable with that.
That's good, because I don't think we have time to go to some ashram in India to get sorted out.
No, because we have to train before Earth to Earth. We don't have time for that.
We have time to travel.
So, Susie, we can't thank you enough for coming back on the show.
Absolutely.
This has been super helpful. I know everyone listening who's racing Atala is grateful for you taking the time. And yeah, good luck with your shoulder. Hopefully that heals up nice, and we'll see you out there. But yeah,
hopefully
thank you so
on
much.
September the 5th, I have a spot. So hopefully
nice.
I'll see you there.
Great.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we'll see you at the start line, and then probably a couple hours after you've finished. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
So thank
Thanks,
you so
Susie.
Much. Good luck with everything. Take care.
Okay.
Bye.
What did I tell you,
so
people?
Good.
What did I tell you?
Amazing.
It's great stuff. It's great stuff. So thank you, everyone, for checking out this week's show. We'd like to thank our supporters, Precision Fuel and Hydration, Odyssey Swim Run, Frank Paddles. We have discount codes. They'll be in the show notes for two of the three of those. Frank Paddles doesn't need to do discount codes.
Slinging plenty of paddles. No problem.
No worries there. But yeah, support them. They're supporting us. They're helping us get ready for this thing. And we couldn't do it without them. So thank you to them. And thank you for listening. Any feedback, any questions, anything you'd like us to cover on this format of show?
Really excited. We got next month's kind of penciled in. Mm-hmm. Really excited for that one. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to share it. Bye-bye.
Just like that.
Bye. Well, that's it for this week's episode. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a review, since that's the best way to help other people discover the show and the sport of swim run.
Sign up for a newsletter at lowtideboys.com. That's boys with a Z. And check out our meme page at the Low Tide Boys on Instagram. If you have any suggestions for the show or questions for us, send us a DM or an email at lowtideboys@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Riding Easy Records for our show music, and of course our wives for their support and tolerance of all our swim run activities, podcast, and other stuff.
Yeah, other stuff.
Other
way
stuff.
To, way to keep it PG. Finally, you can support our efforts on Patreon. Until next time, get out there and go for a swim.
Go for a run.
Then another swim.
Then another run.
And then another swim.
And then another run.
And then just keep going. So you're done.
So you're done. Or maybe can't
stop
this stuff.